This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. President Donald Trump doubled down on his claims that hydroxychloroquine is an effective treatment for COVID-19 in remarks to the press on Tuesday before ending the questioning abruptly when pressed on the credentials of one of the doctors he said supports its use. The president had backed off of his dogged support of the drug in recent days until Monday night when he issued more than a dozen tweets defending the use of the drug, which is used against malaria. Meanwhile, the top U.S. infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, rejected President Trump's renewed claims after a controversial tweet suggested the doctor has misled the public about the drug. Trump retweeted a post alleging Fauci has, quote, misled the American public on many issues, but in particular on dismissing hydroxychloroquine. Dr. Fauci responded by saying, I have not been misleading the American public under any circumstances. Another Trump tweet featured a woman who said in a video she was a Houston, Texas physician standing outside what seemed to be the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, promoting the use of the drug and discouraging the wearing of protective face masks. Twitter subsequently flagged the post, and a company spokesman confirmed the tweet, which has been removed from Trump's feed, violated its COVID-19 misinformation policy. Facebook also removed a video with a spokesman saying it shared false information about cures and treatments of COVID-19. Thursday marks the sixth month since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a public health emergency of international concern. Reflecting on the millions of infections, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said the pandemic continues to accelerate. You can find more on this and other stories at our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. The International Monetary Fund has approved a $4.3 billion loan to South Africa to combat the coronavirus pandemic. South Africa, the most developed country on the African continent, is experiencing a sharp economic contraction as the country grapples with more than 452,500 cases. That's the world's fifth highest coronavirus caseload. The UN's Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs has made available $100 million in emergency aid to 10 resource-challenged countries in Africa, the Middle East, and the Americas. Global airline traffic won't return to pre-COVID-19 pandemic levels until 2024. A year longer than previously thought. That's according to the International Air Transport Association in a new forecast released today. Passenger traffic was down over 86% in June compared to last year. The trade association blamed slow virus control in developing countries and in the United States, which together represent about 40% of global air travel. Countries are cutting their corporate travel budgets in favor of continuing virtual meetings, and consumer confidence in air travel hasn't recovered either, as rising unemployment and health risks outweigh the desire to travel. The United Nations warned Tuesday that its humanitarian operation in Yemen is vastly underfunded and on the verge of collapse. As COVID-19 ramps up and millions of people face extreme hunger in a matter of weeks, Humanitarian Chief Mark Lowcock told the UN Security Council, without more funding, we should all expect large increases in hunger, malnutrition, cholera, COVID-19, and above all, death. He added, we should expect many more people to die. United Nations says war-torn Yemen is undergoing the world's worst humanitarian crisis, and $3.2 billion is required for the response this year. At a pledge conference in June, donors promised only $1.35 billion of the $2.4 billion required for the most essential needs. That leaves the Yemen effort with a shortfall of more than $1 billion. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak said Tuesday he will appeal his conviction of seven criminal charges in connection with the looting of state-owned 1MDB investment fund and the 12-year prison sentence imposed on him. Kuala Lumpur's high court judge ruled the 67-year-old ex-prime minister guilty of abuse of power, breach of trust, and money laundering. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News.